This is Stephen Yah on YahvahYahweh.name. Today, the translation from Hezekiah of the Book of Hebrews from selected passages, Hebrews chapter 8. Now, this is the main point of what I am trying to say, that Yahusha is that Kohen, Haggadol, who is now sitting majestically at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh in heaven as a minister of the set-apart place of the Mikudesh, of the true tabernacle which Messiah pitched and not man. For every Kohen Haggadol is ordained to present offerings and sacrifices, and so it was necessary that the Messiah also have something to offer upon the altar. For if he were ministering from the earthly set-apart place, he could not be a priest, for the offerings of the priests on earth are presented by the Levites according to the Levitical order of priesthood, and serve as priests in a set-apart place is only a type and shadow of the heavenly sanctuary, of the sanctuary that Moses was warned about by Yahweh to pattern the tabernacle after, when he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain." But now Yahusha, our Kohen Haggadol, whose ministry is based upon a superior covenant established upon better promises, mediates for us now through a priesthood more excellent than that one currently fading away. For if that first covenant had been a perfect covenant to redeem the inhabitants of the earth through, then there would have been no need to speak of another covenant and priesthood to come. But the first covenant being administered by men with faults, Yahweh said, "Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers at the time I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Mitzrayim. So I turned away from them, says Yahweh. And after those days, this is the covenant that I will make with the whole house of Israel, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their thoughts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall no longer teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know Yahweh,' for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their Torah violations and iniquities will I remember no more." And so here, when he says he will make a new covenant, he is making the former covenant obsolete, and now that which is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. The 13th verse, the last verse of chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 9. Now the ordinances of the earthly set-apart place given through the former covenant were truly of divine origin as well. There was the tabernacle constructed that contained in the holy place, or the set-apart Kodesh place, the menorah, as well as the table of showbread, where the 12 loaves of bread were placed. Then you had the second veil, which separated the Kodesh place from the most Kodesh place, in front of which was the golden altar of incense, and behind of which was located the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid with gold, where the golden pot filled with manna had been placed, as well as Aaron's rod that budded, and two stone tablets containing the words of the covenant. And on top of this ark were the cherubim, which overshadowed the mercy seat in a way most splendid, the details of which we're not able to describe today. And after these things had been ordained, the priests went routinely into the first section of the tabernacle to perform the daily services to Yahweh. But under the second section, the most Kodesh place, only the Kohen Haggadol entered, and only once a year. Likewise, he was able to enter therein only after offering up the blood of the sacrifice for himself and for the sins of the people committed unintentionally and in ignorance. Hebrews 9:8, the Ruach HaKadosh indicating through this that the way into the most Kodesh place was not yet readily accessible while the first tabernacle was still under the authority of men still susceptible to sin. Which speaks to us today to teach us how that with all the gifts and sacrifices offered, we could never as a people and nation have our ability to discern between good and evil and ability to do right perfected under that system, but could only instruct us through various immersions and grain offerings and drink offerings, and through various sacrificial ordinances given to us until the restoration of the more perfect priesthood. But the Messiah, who is the Kohen Hagadol, or High Priest, of the good things that were to come, has now appeared through the great and perfect tabernacle made in Hashemian, or heaven, or we'll also tell you what the Greek word here is in a moment, rather than by the earthly temple made by human hands. And neither did he need to enter in by the blood of bulls and goats, for because he was without sin, he was able to enter in by his own blood into the most Kodesh place to obtain the eternal redemption established for us through the foundation, or from the foundation of the world. For if the blood of bulls and of goats can purify us in the flesh, and if the special water made up of the ashes of the red heifer sprinkled on a person can remove contamination from their flesh, then how much more effective shall the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself up without spot or blemish to Yahweh, how much more shall he purge our conscience from sinful thoughts and actions to serve the living Yahweh? Or, as Hezekiah put, Elohim. For this reason, he is the one who has been appointed to mediate the new covenant, the Brit Kadashah, between Yahweh and the people, so that all who are called and who have been called in the past can receive the eternal inheritance that the Father has promised them. For the Messiah, Yahusha, and he wrote Yeshua, for the Messiah, Yahusha, through the Brit Kadashah, died to pardon and acquit them of the sins they had committed under that former covenant, even as he has pardoned and acquitted us through the same new covenant. It is like a will which is dependent on the death of the author of the will before it is activated and of legal force, and which has no power or effect before the death of that author. In the same way, the first covenant had to be dedicated with blood as well before it could be of any legal force or effect, as the current one now does. Hebrews 9:19. For when Moshe had spoken every commandment to all the people according to the judgments Yahweh had given him, he took the blood of burnt offerings and peace offerings and sprinkled both the book and all the people. This sprinkling was possibly done with scarlet-dyed wool wrapped around a stick of hyssop, which was then dipped into water and blood for sprinkling, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you." Moses also likewise took the blood and sprinkled the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with it. For almost all things are required through the instruction given to the priests by Yahweh to be purged with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the sanctuary in heaven should be purified with these things, but that the heavenly sanctuary itself be purified with a better sacrifice. For the Messiah has not entered into the most Kodesh place made with hands, which are but a pattern of the true tabernacle, but he entered into the heavenly sanctuary itself, to now appear on our behalf before the presence of Yahweh directly. And neither does he need to offer himself up repeatedly, as the high priest, after the Levitical order, had to do every year with blood other than his own. For then the Messiah would have needed to suffer repeatedly throughout history, from the time of Adam's fall. But now, instead, as the end of the world is approaching, he has needed to appear only this one time to remit our sins through the offering up of his own sinless body and soul. And I would insert, it is not every Sunday morning, not at Mass, but once. And in 9:27, "And we know that it is appointed to men to die once, but after this the judgment. But that through the Messiah, Yahusha, who through his single death was able to take upon himself the sins of many, we through him can now look forward to seeing him at his return, released from our sin, as a people who have been thoroughly redeemed and delivered from that judgment." And that's the end of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. And it said in the King James, "So Messiah was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So, once again, in the paraphrase, it is said there, but that through the Messiah, Yahusha, who through his single death was able to take upon himself the sins of many, we through him can now look forward to seeing him at his return, released from our sin, as a people who have been thoroughly redeemed and delivered from that judgment. And once again, in the King James again, Messiah was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Then now we'll go to Hebrews chapter 10 with the paraphrase. For the priesthood after the Levitical order, being a mere shadow of the superior priesthood to come, and by the way, that's a parenthetical insertion there, Levitical order. In the King James, it says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, or sacrificial law, or the way that pointed ahead in that law of the Old Testament. For the priesthood after the Levitical order being a mere shadow of the superior priesthood to come, and not the very priesthood itself, can never with those same annual sacrifices make the priests of that order perfect, for then there would have been no need to continue offering the sacrifices, for the priests once purified of their sins would have had a conscience free from sinful thoughts and actions. But in those same sacrifices the sinful nature of the priest is brought to remembrance every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away their fallen nature. Therefore, concerning Yahusha's appearance, it was said, sacrifice and grain offerings you do not find desirous, but you have opened my ears and caused me to understand that it is not even burnt offerings or sin offerings for sin that you require. That was Hebrews 10:5. But as it is written, behold, I come in the scroll of the book, as it is written about me, to do thy will, my Yahweh, for thy Torah is within my heart. And so he has taken away the former, so that he may establish the second. The second, through which we are now set apart for his purpose, through the single voluntary offering of the body of the Messiah, Yahusha his Son, for the benefit of all. And again, every priest stands daily ministering and offering over and over again the same sacrifices, which can never truly remit our violations of Torah. But this man, after he had offered up his own body as a single sacrifice for Torah violations committed by all generations, sat down at the right hand of Yahweh. It wasn't in 1844, where he was waiting for the appointed time to arrive, where he will make his enemies his footstool, and where he, through his single offering, will have perfected forever those who are being set apart, in other words, to rule with him as kings and priests over the earth. The Ruach HaKadosh, or the Kodesh Spirit, also testifies to us concerning this, for after the days of this new covenant, it is then written, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my Torah into their inward parts and write it upon their conscience. And their Torah violations and iniquities I will remember no more. In the King James Version says, in 10:16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So in the paraphrase here, I don't go with the word conscience there as much as, it's going to write that in our hearts. In their hearts, much better. And their Torah violations and iniquities, I'll remember no more. And now these violations of Torah, and now where these violations of Torah have been fully remitted, there is no longer any necessity for any offerings of sin. So now, brothers, we can confidently enter into the most Kodesh place in the heavenly sanctuary through the blood of Yahusha shed for us, through his fresh sacrifice, which brings true life, and through the veil of his flesh. by which he has dedicated us into the priestly service as Kohen Hagadol over Yahweh's family. Oh, that's beautiful. Let us now draw near with authenticity of heart and be fully confident and trusting in him who is able to sprinkle us and cleanse us of our evil conscience and to wash our bodies in pure water, Hebrews 10:23, so that we may stand strong in the profession of our faith without wavering, knowing that he who has given us these promises is faithful. And let us consider how to challenge one another to walk in love and to conduct ourselves honorably and as a people of excellence, and also to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together in the public assembly, as some mistakenly do. Likewise, encourage each other, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. For if we violate the Torah on purpose, that is to sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, then there is no sacrifice that can be offered up for that sin. 10:27, but rather there is only a terrifying expectation of Yahweh's judgment, where with raging fire he will consume his enemies. From the King James Version, it says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. In the paraphrase, in verse 28, it says, for example, consider how those who despise the priesthood given under Moses died without mercy under the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 29, so then, how much more severe punishment do you suppose a person is worthy of who has trampled under their feet the blood of Yahweh's Son, the blood of which they have been set apart and dedicated with through the Brit Kadoshah, trampling his blood as if it were a common or unkodesh thing, thereby insulting the spirit of grace given to them? For we know Yahweh who has said, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay. And again, Yahweh shall judge his people. That's in chapter 10, verse 30. And also in Deuteronomy 32, 35, 36. For we know Yahweh who has said, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, and Yahweh shall judge his people, his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living Yahweh, or living Elohim. But remember those earlier days when you had first received the light of the gospel, how you had struggled and endured through much affliction and suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and oppressed, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You sympathized with me when in my prison chains and when all you owned was taken from you. You accepted it with joy, knowing that you have better possessions stored up for yourselves in Hashem, heaven, that will not perish. Therefore, do not throw away the confidence you first had, the confidence of which will eventually bring you great reward. You need to continue to endure in your faithfulness so that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. 10:37, for it may only be a short time before he who is coming comes, but when he does come, he will come quickly. And 38, we know that the righteous will live as a result of their faithfulness, but that the Father's soul will not take pleasure in anyone who withdraws from him. 10:39, and we are not of those who turn away from the Father to their own destruction, but of those whose faithfulness to him endures to the preservation of the soul. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually come to pass, and provides us assurance about the things we cannot see. And it was through faith that our forefathers were able to confirm, or rather to affirm, the truth of their testimony. Through faith that we understand the universe was formed through the spoken word of Yahweh, and know that what we can see with our eyes came from that which cannot be seen with the eye. And it was through faith that Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice or offering to Yahweh than Cain did. Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice was indicative of his righteous character, and Yahweh acknowledged Abel's righteous character when he approved of his sacrifice, so that even through Abel, even though Abel has now been dead for a very long time, he is still able to speak to us today through his excellent example of faith. By faith, Enoch was taken into the heavenly realm without seeing death, and nobody could find him because Yahweh himself had taken Enoch away because of this one testimony that his life had been pleasing to Yahweh. And indeed, without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh. For whosoever comes to Yahweh must believe that he exists, and believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, after being divinely warned and instructed concerning events to come that had never before been seen, in reverent response and obedience, took action and prepared an ark to save his family from the worldwide flood that was to come. Through this same faith, he became a righteous heir of the new world, while those of the former order were condemned in the flood and destroyed. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a land that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know at the time where he was going. By faith, he, as a foreigner, lived in the promised land and moved from place to place in tabernacles along with Yitzhak and Yaakov, who were co-heirs with him of the same promise, looking for a city that was immovable and firmly founded, a city designed and built by Yahweh. And by faith, Sarah also, who was old and past the age of childbearing, was empowered to have a child because she considered Elohim faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, who normally would have been considered impotent at his advanced age, came descendants as countless as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. These all died having faith in the promises that they had not yet received, for they embraced the vision of the promises that were yet distant and allowed themselves to be guided by them, even though they were still mere foreigners and strangers in the land. Through these things, we can see their complete confidence that the promised land would someday be their own. For truly, if they had not had this confidence, they would have looked for an opportunity to return to their original homeland. But their desire was for a better country, of one granted to them from Hashem, or from heaven. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their Elohim, and has even prepared a city for them. 17. It was by faith that Abraham offered Yitzhak as a sacrifice when Elohim was testing him. Incredibly, Abraham, the one who had received Elohim's promise for descendants that would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand by the sea, had fully prepared himself to sacrifice Yitzhak, his only son. 18. The very son through whom those promised descendants were to come through. For Abraham reasoned that if Yitzhak died, that Elohim would be able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back to life from the dead. It was by faith that Yitzhak promised blessings to Yaakov and Esau, his sons, concerning their future. And by faith, Yaakov blessed both of Yosef's sons just before he died. So Yaakov blessed both of Yosef's sons just before he died and bowed in worship while leaning on this staff. It was by faith that Yosef stated confidently just before his death that the people of Israel would eventually leave Egypt, and commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, for they saw that he was a pleasant child and were not afraid to obey the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be persecuted and oppressed along with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin. Like Moshiach, or Messiah, Moses considered suffering to be of greater value than the wealth of Egypt, for his sight was on the promises of Elohim. By faith, Moses left the land of Egypt behind and was not afraid to arouse the anger of Egypt's king, for he preserved as one who had seen the invisible Elohim. It was through faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle the blood of the Passover lamb on their doorposts to prevent the destroyer from killing their firstborn sons. And it was by faith that Israel was able to pass through the Red Sea on a dry land, and that the Egyptians, who were without faith, drowned when they attempted to do the same thing. 30. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around the city of Jericho 7 days and caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. 31. By faith that Rahab the prostitute offered the Hebrew spies a safe place to stay, and so did not die with the other people of Jericho who were faithless and disobedient towards Yahweh, or towards Elohim, he wrote. And there are so many more examples that I could give, but I would run out of time before I could share them all. That sounds like Paul's writing. Examples of Gideon's faith and of Barak, of Samson's, and of Jephthah's, of King David's, and of Samuel's, and of the faith of all prophets, who through their faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, received promises from Elohim, shut the mouths of lions, suppressed the flames of furnace fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong through their trials and suffering, became great in battle and caused the armies of Israel's enemies to flee. Women had their loved ones who had died brought back to life again. And others were tortured and, not accepting deliverance, refused to deny Elohim in exchange for freedom. They refused to deny Yah in exchange for freedom, for they sought to obtain a more excellent resurrection. And others were ridiculed and mocked and had their backs shredded with whips, while others were chained up in prison. They were stoned to death, sawed in half, tempted, and murdered with a sword. They wandered around while only having sheepskins and goatskins to wear, and were continuously lacking, persecuted, and oppressed. And though they wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth, the world was not worthy of them. And all these people of great faith and reputation did not receive the promise, for Yahweh had provided something better for his people, so that we should all be perfected to receive the promise together. End of chapter 11 of Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Therefore, seeing that we are engulfed with such a large cloud of faithful witnesses concerning our faith-based life, let us cast aside every weight that holds us back, especially of those sins that so easily ensnare us, and run in a way that allows us to successfully endure and complete that race that has been set before us. And then there's the ultimate example, that of Yahusha, our deliverer, the author, victor, and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that awaited him endured the torture stake and allowed himself to be shamefully treated. He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. No, he wasn't seated in 1844. It was back three nights and 3 days after the death, and then through the burial, and then the resurrection, and then he ascended. He presented himself as the first fruits to the Father way back in around the year 33. Chapter 12, verse 3. So when you feel like giving up, consider how much hostility he endured from those sinful people who were oppressing him, and be encouraged yourself to remain faithful and determined as he had been. For unlike our predecessors, you have not yet completed your struggle against sin to the point of having your own blood shed. And you have forgotten the words that Elohim spoke to you, not as strangers, but as sons, when he said, "My son, do not reject the discipline of Yahweh, nor be grieved when he corrects you. For whom Yahweh loves, he trains and disciplines, and whips everyone he has accepted as a son." Or in the King James, he chastens and disciplines and scourges. But here it says he whips everyone he has accepted as a son. So endure your hardships as discipline from Yahweh, for Yahweh is training you to be his sons. And what sons are never disciplined by their father? If Yahweh did not discipline you, as he disciplines all his children, then you would be an illegitimate child and not really his son at all. For even our earthly fathers disciplined or chastened us, and we respected and appreciated them for it. So how much more so should we submit to the disciplines of the Father of our spirit, who disciplines us for the benefit of eternal life? Our earthly fathers disciplined us for good, the best they knew how, for a short time in eternity, but our heavenly Father for our eternal benefit, so that we may ultimately partake in his being set apart. And indeed, no discipline is pleasant to go through at the time, but painful, and later it produces a harvest of righteousness and shalom for those who have been trained by it. So raise your hands and strengthen your knees to stand erect. Make a level path for your feet, so that what is weak may not be twisted out of their socket, but rather be strengthened and healed. Live in peace with everybody as much as you are able, and live a Kodesh life, or separated or pure life. Kodesh, the Hebrew word there. For no one can see, and then he put Adonai, Yeshua, and the King James has Lord, but of course it's neither. For no one can see Yahusha, the Messiah, apart from a Kodesh life dedicated to the Father. Look after each other to ensure nobody falls out of favor with Yahweh, and be careful that no root of bitterness springs up among you. And be careful that no root of bitterness springs up among you, causing many to become stained or polluted with sin. Make sure that no one among you engages in sexual immorality or becomes contemptuous, a profane person like Esau, who for a single meal sold his birthright. That's being profane or contemptuous. For as you know, afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. For though he sought that lost blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. For you have not come to the physical Mount Sinai, to the place of the flaming fire, where there was darkness, gloom, and storm, and where the shofar blasted, and where words spoken from Elohim's mouth were heard in such a way, or spoken from Yahweh's mouth were heard, actually the Son is speaking there, in the so-called Old Testament. His mouth and the words were heard in such a way that those present pleaded that he not speak to them directly anymore. The place where they were so paralyzed with fear that even the commandment of stoning, or of shooting the animal, or shooting with an arrow, the commandment of stoning the animal, or of shooting with an arrow, any animal that touched the mountain, was too much for them to carry out. The next verse, 12:21. The place where Yahweh's anger burned, so hot at Israel's idolatrous sin that even Moses became fearful. He became fearful. But no, rather you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the ever living Yahweh, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to a countless number of messengers gathered in joyful assembly, to the appointed time of the assembly of called out ones, and to the firstborn whose names are inscribed in heaven, or Hashemim, and to Yahweh the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Yahweh the judge of all, and the spirits of righteous men made perfect. And to Yahusha, who mediates the new covenant between Yahweh and man, and to the sprinkling of his blood for the purification from sin, more excellent than the cry of Abel's blood. See to it that you do not refuse the invitation of he who is speaking to you. For if they did not escape, who refused to listen to Moses, their earthly mediator, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from the words of he who now mediates from heaven, or Oranos in Greek? At that time the voice of Yahweh shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying once again, in just a little while I will shake the sky and earth. And while he says once again, it is saying like in the days of Noah, those things created by man will be shaken and thoroughly cast down, to remove them so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot and will not be shaken, let us be thankful and serve Yahweh in a manner pleasing to him, showing reverence to him and refraining from careless actions and decisions. For Yahweh is a consuming fire. That was Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. And so we're going to Hebrews 13, where in the King James it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Verse 4, marriage is honorable and in all, and the bed undefiled, but a whoremonger and adulterers Yahweh will judge. Now let's go to the paraphrase from Hezekiah. It says, let marriage be honored among all, and the marriage bed be kept pure, for Yahweh will condemn those who engage in premarital relations and who commit adultery. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for Yahweh has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. he words it this way, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that you may say with confidence that Yahweh is our helper and have no fear of anything that man can do to us. Hebrews 13:7. And remember the leaders who have been in authority over you and the word of Yahweh that they have spoken to you and follow in their example, considering carefully the honorable way they lived their lives and the ultimate outcome of their conduct. Yahusha the Messiah, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there he used Yeshua. In 13:8 we use Yahusha. Therefore, do not be led astray by unfamiliar teachings or by the various doctrines out there taught by those who do not know him. For it is a precious thing for the heart to be established through Yahweh's favor, or Elohim's favor, gained through the Messiah, by the way, and not with food from the altar which no longer benefits those who partake of them. For we now have a heavenly altar, that they who served in the earthly tabernacle had no right to eat from. For example, while the blood of the animal sacrifice was brought into the most Kodesh, or most separated place, by the Kohen Hagadol, high priest for sin, the bodies of those animals were burned outside the camp. So, in like manner, Yahusha, so that he could purify the people of their sin with his own sinless blood, likewise suffered outside the city gate. Therefore, let us go out to him who suffered outside the camp, and suffer the disapproval of the world as he did. Let me read that again. Therefore, let us go out to him who suffered outside the camp, and suffer the disapproval of the world as he did. For here we have no permanent home, but rather seek the city of Yahweh to come. Therefore, through our Kohen Hagadol, Yahusha, let us offer up offerings of praise to Yahweh always, and from the fruit of our lips, or the bowl of our lips, give thanks to his great name always for what he has done. And do not forget to take care of each other's needs, and to remain in fellowship with one another, for with such offerings Yahweh is well pleased. Obey those who are in authority over you, and submit yourselves to their instruction, for they watch over your souls and are required to hold you accountable for your actions. Give them reason to do it with joy, and not with grief, for that would not be to your benefit. And pray for us, for our conscience is clear, and we desire to conduct ourselves honorably in everything we do. Especially pray that I may come back to you soon. Now Yahweh of Shalom, of peace, now Yahweh of Shalom, who raised up Yahusha our King, that great shepherd of the sheep, from the grave, through the ratification of the eternal covenant made through his blood, may he make you complete and perfect you to fully carry out his will concerning every good work, and perform through you all that is well-pleasing in his sight through Yahusha the Messiah, to whom be honor, splendor, and majesty forever and ever. Hallel. And then that's verse 21. He also says in 22, I urge you, brothers and sisters, listen closely to what I have written in this brief letter of exhortation. And then you can read the last two verses for yourself there. And may Yahweh's favor be upon all of you. Hallel. In Hebrews 13:25. Now, this is all rights reserved and copyrighted by Jews for Yeshua Ministry and to the Torah and to the testimony. And, of course, that's from Isaiah 8:20. If anyone does not speak according to these words, to the Torah and to the testimony, it is because they have no light in them. Also see Revelation 12:17 and Revelation 14:12. And I was noticing in the King James that some of the original that I prefer, that it needs to be maintained over this Hebrew paraphrase. Okay, well, for example, in Hebrews 12:22, but we are, this is King James, we are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living Yah, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of messengers and congregation of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to Yahweh the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Yahusha the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escape not who refused him who that spake on earth, that's Moses, Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. That's Yahusha, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Let us serve Yahweh acceptably with reverence and fear of Yahweh. For Yahweh is a consuming fire. And that's found in Hebrews 12. Have a great eternity, great future from Stefan Yah. And it's been a blessing to have you here today. Remember that all is not lost. No, you might lose a few battles, but Yahweh has won the war already through his son Yahusha. That he is coming quickly, that he promises to give you the Spirit, that if you are properly immersed in the water and in the Spirit, as his word says in John chapter 3, if you're properly immersed and if you confess his name, at Romans chapter 10 verse 9, if you confess his name, confess that Yahweh, or rather that Yahusha died on the tree at Calvary and rose from the grave. Of course, the devils believe that as well because they observed it, but if you confess it, Yahweh, here, let's look that up here just to make sure. I'm not talking off the top of my head here, top of the brain. Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Yahusha, it says Lord Jesus there, but Yahusha, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, I hope you're having a great day, a great evening, have plenty of energy, more than I have at this time, and that everything is going well. And if not, I pray for you, for your health and wealth and prosperity, spiritually at least speaking, and that we'll get together again, be reading more scriptures, maybe another translation will come across the desktop of Hezekiah there on Jews for Yeshua, and check out some of the other websites as well. Giveshare.org, that's GiveShare.org. And of course, our website is YahvehYahweh.name. We are endorsing those that keep closest to the Word. So if in your area there aren't any at all, then that's a big problem. But if there are some that come really close, then I might encourage you to attend those and to be lifted up in the Spirit with and to be a light, be a beacon of light as you get together with others of like-minded, like-spirited people whose goal is to serve Yahweh first. The very reason we are created is to praise Yahweh and to carry out those commandments that he gave us, of course, personally in our lives and corporately as a nation. So thank you again. Shalom.